Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. You give grace, O God. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be your name, O Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We come to you this morning, O Lord. We want more, need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I praise you, Lord. Sing 479. Number 479. Thank you, Lord. That he is with us to the very end. He will never, never leave me nor yet forsake me here while I live by faith and do his blessed will. And then we run our course, we run our lives, and we come to an end. But I'm thankful that even at the end of our journey, Jesus is with us. And his presence is so manifest and so real to us. There's a Bible verse that you've heard before, several of them, but one of them says this: O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Jesus has conquered. There is really no death for the children of God. This year, at the end of last year, I guess it was this year, January 1st, my sister went to be with the Lord. And I saw that in such a marked way. I had never experienced it. I'd seen a lot of people slip into eternity. Many of them knew the Lord. I was there when they passed on into heaven. And I sensed his presence with them in every case. And I could tell you all their stories, and they're to me, they're wonderful stories. You say, well, how can it be a wonderful story when you're talking about death? With my sister's case, I mean, she knew she was not going to be here long. She had a chronic lung condition, and it had deteriorated and gotten much worse. And she had been hospitalized for it and had been in ICU for weeks. And they were giving her as much oxygen as you possibly could get. She could hardly talk to anyone, and not so much because of the weakness, but because she couldn't hear. The only thing she heard was the rush of air, the sound of air. And so she'd say to me, Ernie, you have to talk louder, and you have to pray louder. I'd visit her, and others would visit her. You'd never know that my sister was so sick. She just loved to sing, and whenever you sang about heaven, she'd smile. It was just kind of like, oh yeah, I'm going there one of these days. And then it got a little too much for her, and the doctor said there was nothing more that could be done physically for her. So she asked me one time, she said, is it wrong for me to stop the airflow and all the intervention that they're giving? Is that wrong? And just to trust the Lord and put myself in his care? And I said, no, I don't think it's wrong. I think that's your decision to make. And if that's what you want to do, she said, oh, yeah, I'd much rather go than stay. Now, my sister was older than I, but not as old as most of you, not as old as some of you. She wasn't, she wasn't really that old. She had a daughter and a son-in-law and grandchildren and a lot to live for. But then when it came, she wanted to wait until after New Year's Eve for my sake. She said, you have a service New Year's Eve, and I don't want to, I don't want to make it harder for you to have to be here when you should be there. So I'll wait till January 1st. I'm going to sign the papers. I want to come off life support, and I want to go home. But on New Year's Eve, her daughter called me and said, Joyce wants to go today. She doesn't want to wait till tomorrow, so could you come and say goodbye? And so I did. She's in New Jersey. I'm in New York. And I drove over and said goodbye. She was just at rest and at perfect peace, as if she was going on vacation tomorrow, and I'll see you again. In German, that's what we say. I'm not German, really. I mean, that's my heritage, but I don't know the language. But I know there's a word in German: when somebody leaves, you say Auf Wiedersehen. And I understand that doesn't really mean goodbye. It means I'll see you again.
I'll see you again. I said that to a girl once that was lying in a sick bed. I said, Cynthia, auf Wiedersehen. And she died right there and then. And through that death, our brother George Shahan found the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you know who I'm referring to. Well, we sang together. My sister did. She had signed the papers. We prayed. I said goodbye. And she said goodbye to her family that were there. And then we were just waiting to go down one floor to take her to the hospice unit, where she then will be weaned off and disconnected and made sedated so she's comfortable. And so that was going to happen. And she knew fully well, she knew, when I go down to the fourth floor, that's it. That room is it. I'm done then. In that room, I'm not coming out unless the Lord heals me, but he hasn't healed me yet. And so I'm just going to be in his hands. Well, she closed her eyes. I thought she was kind of sleepy or sleeping. And we were just standing there waiting for them to come. And finally she looked at me and she said, hey, Ernie. I said, what? She said, what's taking so long? I said, what? Joyce, you know where you're going? You know what's going to happen when you get to where you're going? And you're like, what's taking so long? I mean, why can't we, what's the big holdup? I signed the papers. Can't they come and get me? And can't we go to heaven? Well, we can't go. You can. But, you know, I've never seen anything like that. First of all, most people don't get to choose the time and day that they're going to pass on. So that was unusual in and of itself. But to face death, to face the unknown future with such full confidence. Oh, that was the easiest funeral service I ever had to preach at. Here was a woman that wanted to go to be with Jesus. To be with Christ is far better. And you know, for the child of God, yeah, we don't want to see people leave. We love the people. We want to see them around forever. But there is an end. But it's really not the end. It's the beginning of a new life. My wife stayed with my sister overnight, and it wasn't until the next morning, New Year's Day, early in the morning, that the Lord took her to be with himself. But I'm thankful. Thankful that I know where she is. Now, why do I say all this to you this morning? I mean, this is kind of a morbid way to get started. Well, not really. It's a glorious way, first of all. We are all going home. Now, you know, it might take you a little longer to get there than I. I don't know when I'm going, and you don't know when you're going. We're all on the way. And one of these days, as certain as taxes, so is death. And we're going to face eternity. And I want to be able to, when I face eternity, face it with such confidence. I don't want to be ashamed before him at his coming if he returns. And when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I'd really like to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But it kind of matters what I do today and how I live today. Because that day will come. But I'm thankful that the sting has been removed. It's not nice. It's difficult. And I mentioned this morning because a year ago today, I was here at camp and I got a phone call from Sister Irene Ramjeet's daughter. And she told me that Sister Irene's husband had gone home to be with the Lord. That's a year ago today. I didn't pack up and go home right away. I stayed a little bit until the funeral was to be held. And I think last year I left a day earlier, if I'm not mistaken. And it was because I wanted to be at Brother Lionel's funeral. And the Lord took him rather suddenly. It was unexpected. He wasn't well, didn't feel well. And later in that morning, he passed on and the Lord took him to be with himself. But the Lord has been gracious to Sister Irene. And she has found his mercy and his care. And, well, I've nothing now to fear, as we just sang. I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall feed. And one of these days, Sister Irene has that hope that's burning bright within her heart, that one day she's going to see Jesus and others who have gone on before. Brother Lionel isn't gone. He's just one ahead. And he's where my sister is and where my cousin is and my mom and dad and your loved ones and many others that have gone on before. They're home. We're on the way. We're still in this pilgrimage. We're still fighting it out. We're running the race. Let's run with endurance the race that is set before us. And when it comes to the end of the race, keep your eyes on Jesus, because he's the author and he's also the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. And so I'm glad, I'm thankful that I remember visiting a woman who some of you might remember, Beverly Rothman. And she had a terrible sickness and she wasn't doing well, and she knew the inevitable if the Lord didn't touch her. And I went to see her one day in her home where she was living. And the interesting thing was she had an upside down Christmas tree in her home. You ever seen one of those? I'd never seen one before. And it wasn't even green, it was silver. Just like Beverly. To have an upside down Christmas tree. She said you could fit more presents around it that way when it's upside down. The other way is a little bit more difficult. That's why they had an upside down tree. Okay, again, that was Beverly. But I didn't bring it up, but she said to me, she said, "You know, Ernie, I really can't lose. I'm like in a win-win situation." I said, "How do you mean, Bev?" She said, "Well, if the Lord heals me, that's good. Then I'm here, and I can still serve the Lord, and I can still live for him, and I can still glorify his name. And if the Lord takes me to be with himself, I'm in heaven. I have a glorified body. I'm new. I'm okay. There's no problem. I can't lose. Whether I go by way of the grave, or I wait till the Lord comes, or he waits 20 years to take me, I can't lose." You know, God's people have a way of facing the inevitable. It's glory just to walk with him. And then we step over into the other side with, as some that have been so familiar with camp and have lived at camp, went to be with the Lord with the shout of, "Full victory! Full victory!" Well, wait a minute, full victory? You're not here anymore. That's victory? Sure, it's victory. Peter says, receiving the end of your salvation. I haven't received the end of mine yet, have you? No, you haven't. You're still here. You're alive. We're receiving the end of our salvation, the redemption of our bodies. One day you're going to be changed, and we're going to be like him. And this mortal shall put on immortality. And then shall come to pass the saying, "Oh, death, what happened to your sting? Where's the victory?" And I can remember standing at the graveside of my sister and shouting those words triumphantly, because she looked death in the face and said, "Where is your victory, O death? Where is your sting?" And it's the same with Brother Lionel and with any of God's children that have gone home to be with the Lord. And now we remain. We sorrow not as others, but we sorrow. Not as those who have no hope, because we have a wonderful hope in Jesus Christ. We want to pray for Sister Irene today. She's had so much good help around her. Her family have supported her, and Rowena is here with her this week. And Rowena has been like a daughter, although just a daughter-in-law. She's a daughter to Sister Irene and her other daughter and sons and family. And God has been good. God has been faithful. But Lord, we want to thank you this morning for your faithfulness. Great it is. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And Lord, we sorrow. A year later, I'm sure there's still sorrow. The separation for us, we have a hope, but we feel the loss. But we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence. And we thank you for your grace. And we thank you for the hope that we have in our hearts. And we pray that this day, rather than be a day of sorrow and a day of mourning, would be a day of great joy and great victory for Sister Irene. Lord, because Brother Lionel's with you. And Lord Jesus, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and we'll shout the victory. So let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of you in glory will all the toils of life repay. And so we thank you for that hope, and we pray that it would be brighter in all of us. Lord, I know the young people, we never think about the end. It's so far away. Lord, perhaps you'll return. Perhaps you'll come before these young people grow to older years. Lord, maybe you'll come soon, maybe today. We pray, Lord, that we might be ready, that we might be about our Father's business, occupying until you come. Oh, Lord, it's a joy to walk with you, a privilege to serve you, and just give our lives to you, and then know that we have eternal life that's already begun because you've paid the price and you've won the victory. And we thank you for it. We pray for the whole camp this morning, Lord, that you'll bless Pilgrim Camp. Lord, from the end of Benedict to over in Nonantum and every area in between the village and the cottage, we pray that you'll bless camp this day. We pray, Jesus, that you'll pour out your spirit this day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then home. Lord, it's soon going to be over for these boys. They're soon going to return back to where they've come. And Lord, we don't believe that you're finished yet. Lord, we believe that there's more. There's much more. You can do a great work in a short time in these lives and hearts. I pray, O God, and we trust that now, by now, every one of them knows that their sins are forgiven. Everyone knows that they belong to Jesus. But now, Lord, solidify their calling. We pray, Lord, that they'll be established in their faith. Lord, in a few days, do much. Oh, Lord, to root and to ground them, to teach them habits that will keep them. Dear Jesus, we just pray you bless them today and every council that's working with them. Lord, there are those that aren't well. We pray that you'll help these boys, dear Lord, today, that you'll lay your hand upon them today. Oh, Jesus, you know every need in the whole camp, and we commit it all to you today. And pray, Lord, that you'll help us, yes, even here in Watch Rock. Lord, give us more. We want more of you. We need you, Jesus. Help us today, Lord, to be what you want us to be. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. For Jesus' sake, we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if Sister Irene had to pick a song, she would pick number 68 in the white book. Am I right, Sister Irene? Yeah. That's the song. 68.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. place today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. upon grace, O Lord. Hallelujah. Your grace is sufficient. Your strength is made perfect in weakness. Hallelujah. Most gladly, therefore, will we glory in our infirmity that your power might rest upon us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Trust in the Lord and don't despair. He is a friend so true. No matter what your troubles are, Jesus will see you through. Sing when the day is bright. Sing in the darkest night every day. All the way I will sing, 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 sing when the day is bright. Sing in the darkest night every day.
Can you do that? Do you do that? No matter what your troubles are, little ones or big ones, praise the Lord anyhow. Right? Sometimes hallelujah, sometimes praise the Lord. But always singing and rejoicing in everything, give thanks. Because he works all things together for good to those that love him and that are called according to his purpose. And I thank God too for it. No matter what the troubles, the sicknesses, the stuff that we deal with, everything that's been mentioned this morning, I've had 2 embolisms, 1 cancer, 1 this, that, the other thing. Somebody said to me at somebody's funeral, a loved one that passed on, they said, when I heard it was that person, I thought it would be you. I said, oh, thanks. Still here. Not yet. Maybe next. But I remember being in the hospital at one time when I should have been at camp. It was supposed to be a camp a few years ago, third period, and I got sick. I couldn't make it. And I was trying to get out of the hospital. I was trying to convince the doctor to let me go. And that was when I had an embolus, and it had gotten into my lung. And he said, you can't go anyplace. You cannot go anyplace. And then he told me how severe it could have been. And so, I don't want to go anyplace anymore. And I felt bad. I felt bad that I had to be there and not here. It happened another time when I was supposed to go out to SVCA and I couldn't go. That was another situation and another circumstance. And one of those times, I got a call from Brother Gordon Waldfogel. I was there in the hospital bed. And I was feeling, you know, trust in the Lord. And I sang it like, you know, we can sing it sometimes and we don't really mean it. And I wasn't so happy at the time, and I wasn't rejoicing very much. I was wishing to be here at camp or in SVCA, whichever occasion that was. But Uncle Gordon on the other end of the phone. So most of you know Brother Gordon Waldfogel, who now went to be with the Lord last year. And he said, Ernie, listen, look for the good. Look for the good. And I'm lying here in bed. And I'm thinking, you know, this, that, and the other thing. They're telling me, and look, for where's the good? He said, there has to be good. Somewhere there's good in this, so look for the good. Because all things work together for good. Well, that changed my attitude. Instead of feeling sorry for where I had to be and why did I have to miss this now. And, you know, I look back on that occasion. And I can see the good. I'm not going to go into the details of it now. It has not really nothing to do with me, but it had to do with the kingdom of God and the way the Lord has helped others. And it's been such a tremendous blessing. And I see the good. Sometimes we don't see the good. But I thank God that we can, because he's always thinking of us. He knows the sparrows that fly around, and he knows the lilies that are growing out in the field. And how much more will he care for you, O you of little faith? And every once in a while, I need to be reminded of, O you of little faith, believe, trust in me. I'll take care of you through every day or all the way. I'm faithful. You can safely put your trust in me, no matter what. Trust in the Lord and don't despair, because he's thinking of us. Now we take the boat ride at Pilgrim Camp, and we wind up out in the middle of the lake, way down at the other end, and Brother Tom or Brother Stephan stop the boat, and they say, there's where, remember the man's name who lived in that house? What was his name? Yeah, remember that? Lorenz, Edmund Lorenz. He probably wrote the music for The Name of Jesus is So Sweet, I Love Its Music to Repeat. That's not the only song that he wrote, though, music that he wrote for hymns. There's another one that he wrote. He wrote the words and the music for number 300 in our hymn books. And maybe you'd like to stand together and we can sing it. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. No need to fear when thou art near, because, Lord, you're thinking about me. Let's stand. Let's sing number 300 in our hymn book. Seats, and before we sing the last verse, just a couple of things regarding today. We all have another video, our DVD, at 1:30 this afternoon. Yesterday, I lost half of you midstream. John Wycliffe is not as exciting as the others that got beat up and died for their faith. He actually lived through it, and the only thing he did was translate the Bible into English. But if he didn't do that, you wouldn't be reading about Huss or Luther or the other reformers that came after John Wycliffe. What a critical link he was. In 30 years after Wycliffe went to be with the Lord or passed on, that work that he had begun spread to Bohemia. And that light that Wycliffe had spoken about and taught, the readings or the writings, not just the scripture translation, but his writings got into the hands of a man named John Huss. And this afternoon at 1:30, we'll look at the story or the life of John Huss. Now, if you're looking for the more spectacular other side, you might find that he does get burnt. I shouldn't tell you what happens to him at the end. I don't want to ruin it for you. But John Huss, this afternoon at 1:30, and then 3 o'clock on the porch, Sister Edith snacks. And we have a prayer meeting this afternoon. It's a staff prayer, but it's a guest prayer. It's a prayer meeting at 4:15 this afternoon here, and so keep that all in mind. Now, down in the boathouse, there's a book for sale, and it's not mandatory, but it's as close to mandatory as you could get. It's entitled The Insanity of God, which is kind of an insane title to name anybody's book, and it's written by a man named Nick Ripkin, but that's really not his name. That's a pseudonym, because if he wrote his real name, then somebody would hunt him down and try to kill him, and he doesn't want that to happen. And so he writes a book, this book. And a number of months ago, Brother Paul gave it to me to read. He loaned it to me, and I read the book, and it was riveting, truly riveting. It's more a missionary story or a missionary account of what God is doing what God wasn't doing in Somalia, which discouraged this man terribly, and he was about ready to give up as far as why doesn't the gospel work in a foreign field in a different culture. But then he went to the Ukraine, and then he went to China, and he writes of his experiences. Now, he didn't go as a missionary. He went to glean information. How does the kingdom of God spread as it did in Ukraine or as it does in China? What's the secret? And he went and he interviewed different people, different leaders of house movements. And these accounts are amazing, simply amazing. I was telling someone yesterday, I can't understand it. My mind doesn't gravitate that way. In China, for instance, if you haven't been incarcerated, put in jail for your faith, what good are you? You're not worth very much. If you haven't suffered or been persecuted and imprisoned for your faith, then you must be a baby Christian. It was kind of like expected. And they'd go into the prison and they get sentenced for 3 years and leave their young wives and children at home. And they come out of the prison and on their way out the door, they'd say to the other inmates, well, I'll be back. I'll see you again. I'm not looking forward to it. I mean, I'm not expecting to get, but I'll be back. And they'd go out and they'd live their faith again and they'd go back in again and they'd continue. It's like the book of Acts revisited all over again. It's what our Christian lives should be like. And when you read this, you'll be challenged. Read it with a box of tissues because you might weep. And it's a wonderful account. And so is that a good advertisement for this book? I would hope that you would get one, or if you don't have the funds to buy one, let me know and I'll maybe get it for you or help you along. Or you can borrow someone else's. But I'd encourage you to read this book, The Insanity of God. Let's sing that last verse. Let shadows come, let shadows go, let life be bright or dark with woe. I am content, for this I know, thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. What need I fear when thou art near and thinkest, Lord?